You know, I don't know why we just, if we got, if you got full stanzas, full verses of in a song, I don't mind it where we just sing either two or three. I always need to leave the middle one out. And that's just like leaving the middle cross out. The middle cross that got a great big meaning to it. Yeah. More of a meaning to it than the other two. But verse 3 right here says, trusting only in thy merit. Would I seek in thy face? Heal my wounded, broken spirit. Save me by thy grace. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. I sure am thankful that he's not going to pass me by. I'm sure I'm thankful this past week that he did not pass by me when he had his blessings set out for me, except for Wednesday evening. I won't hear. So I didn't have an opportunity to receive his blessing Wednesday evening. But I'll tell you one thing. But I come back Thursday night, he had a double portion there for me. I tell you, I want to speak on this morning over here in the book of Luke, chapter 15. And I want to look at two words here that the writer, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, he put here for us to be able to look at. And he's speaking about a far country. We're looking for that far country one day. I don't believe it's going to be that much longer before we're going to be able to see the far country. And we ain't going to be able to, and we're going to be able to see our loved ones that's gone on before. Now, I don't know about you, but I got some loved ones over there. I got some friends over there that meant a lot to me. I got a grandmother that's over there. Bless her heart. I tell you what, she took us to church. Well, she didn't take us. She drug us to church. She said, you going to church, you coming out here and stay with me on this summer. So she took us to church. But I could always remember with her that the last thing she would do at night, she would go in and she'd get in her bed after we set up and we'd watch Bonanza or something like that. And she'd go to her bed and we'd go to our bed and we'd get into bed and we noticed that she'd always have her nightlight on that she had right there on her, stand right beside the bed. She had the light on. But I went in sometimes and I noticed, before I went all the way into the room, I noticed that she had a Bible and she was reading it in the bed. And I would notice sometimes that you'd go in there and I could see her where she'd been and dozed off. But when she dozed off, evidently she must knew that she was about ready to doze off. She'd take that Bible and lay it upon her chest. The next morning, if you happened to get up before she got up, you could go into the room where she was at, the bedroom, and look at her. And there she was, still sleeping, and that Bible still on her chest. still open. But when she'd wake up, she wouldn't come out and get a cup of coffee. She wouldn't come out and get some oatmeal or some breakfast or something like that. She'd always make sure before she left her bed that she could just start right there and pick up where she left off the night before. You know, the young people today, they can't find a minute of that. They can't look at it and say, well, what are you talking about that for? What are you talking about that for? She loved God. She loved His Word. That's the reason that we was all here this week, is because we love God, because we loved His Word, and we was praying that something will be said or done that will motivate us to go out here and tell somebody else. Or pick up their phone and call us. Call them. But the Lord will motivate us, because we're looking for that far country. That far country that's above the third heavens. But the people that we go out and we visit, they don't realize that what they got to look for is a far country that they're going to go to. And that far country is hell. We can either go by God and go to a far country that where is going to be no sickness. Now, how many would like to be able to go around and not even have to worry about having any kind of sickness? How many of you would like to go around and not stumble and fall? How many of you would like to be there with a great physician? One thing I asked the doctors down at it Thursday. And I asked the doctors, I wanted to know. And he said, well, he says, what you come for? You want to know what you can find out? I said, yes, sir. But I wanted to know if I went through all the treatments and went through everything that they told me I had to go through, the worst part and everything, I said, will I ever get back to where I can still get in the pulpit and preach? I said, I got a little small church. I don't want to give that church up because of this disease. He says, that's what our indication is to get you back to doing what you were doing before. We don't want you down here trying to just to patch it up for a little while. Then the next thing you know, you're going to be right back. No, you come down here to where we can help. But it's going to be up to you. They can help me. And I believe both of them doctors, they love the Lord because of some things that they said and what I could read into it. But you know, if I'm not willing to put my foot forward and say, Lord, I've got to do my part. You've got to help me do it. And if I'm not going to do my part, then if I look at this way, I'm wasting their time to where they could be helping somebody else that wants to help. But I want to help. I want God to give them the very thing that they need to do what He has to do to me.
the Lord. The Lord's brought all this about. Right now, I don't know what the reason is behind it. But I know one thing. The Lord has got my self and my being in His very best interest. He don't want me to get sick. He don't want me to be down where I can't go out and visit and where I can't come and preach. He don't want me to get out of like that. But it's just like Job. He'll ask the devil. The devil comes to God and says, God says, I understand you've got a servant here that loves you. I want to take your servant. I want to take your servant and I want to do what I can with him. The Father says, you can do anything you want to with him except take his life. But Job was a righteous man. Can you imagine sitting on the coals of ashes? The hot ashes where Job was sitting on, with all them boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. It wasn't a part of his body that it did not have a boil on. How could a man be righteous in something like that? How can a man say, I'm going to serve the Lord? Whatever the cost, I'm going to serve it. We haven't come to that point, and I even hadn't come to that point in my life and trying to do what I can do for the Lord. But I hope and pray that if I ever get to that point in my life, that He tests me like that. That I can have the strength and the power above to stay with Him. Look what happened to Job. Job stayed with him, didn't he? His wife. So many people, they criticize his wife because she told God, and he told Job, said, Job, and she probably told him, says, honey, says, won't you just curse God and die? I hate to see you in this pain. He said, I can't. God hasn't done anything to me. See, the Lord don't do anything to us. And what He does allow Satan to do to us is give us a stronger faith, a stronger mind, a stronger heart, something stronger within us to serve the Lord. We can't go out here and face the people and face the enemy. And that's what we face every day. When we go out these doors, when we leave the church service, and when we leave here, we get on the highway, and we go back home, or we go to the grocery store, or we go to Walmart, or we go to Sam's, or places like that. We are facing the enemy. Thank the Lord that He's given me the soul. And with this sword right here, and with what's in it, it can sharpen me up. It can take them little blemishes out of my soul to where I can face the devil, where I can face all the others. But I can't face them alone even with that. I thank the Lord Jesus Christ that He has faced them for me. He faced them for me when He went to Calvary. When He hung between them two thieves there. And one of them said, well, if you say that you're God and you say that you are Him, why don't you just come down from the cross? I know it's not the word for word, but why don't you just come down? Another one on the other side of it told the Lord, remember me when you come into your paradise. Other words, he said, Lord, remember me while you're on the way back to heaven. Remember me. And I don't believe, nobody ever convinced me that the Lord did not remember him. I believe as soon as that malefactor, that thief that was on the cross and everything, when he said, basically what he might was saying, won't you just curse God and die? Or just, you know, get off the cross if you say you're God. If you say who you say you are, you can come down off the cross. You don't have to go through the pain. But see, the thing about it was, that individual that was on the cross, that said that to him, that's the reason he was on the cross, was because of him. And what else did he say? He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they say. Forgive them. He said, forgive them. He said unto me, he says, Father, a young man has come to me and he wants salvation. And he's accepted me. Now, Father, will you accept him? The father could say, well, yeah, I'll accept him. You know, if he does, okay. No. The father didn't have no choice. Did you hear that? The father had no choice but to allow me. Come and ask him to put my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. He didn't have no choice. Why? Because just like when Jesus was hanging on a cross at Calvary, what happened? The Father turned his back on his Son. Why? Because of my sin and your sin. But when he rose from the third day, and when he went back to heaven, he didn't sit down right then. His father said, well, son, you ain't through yet. I know. And he said, well, Father, I said it's finished when I was on the cross. When I wouldn't take part in the venom, and when I wouldn't take part in what they wanted me to do, it was finished. He says, I know it's what you said. But it's not truly finished yet. You got some disciples. You got your followers that's down in the upper room. And they're bickering. And who their leader's going to be. They're bickering on what they're going to do next. And I know that you talked to them and you told them what they must do. And they knew on the third day that you would be out of the grave and you would be going back home. They knew that. But they just did not take it and apply it to their heart. They left a little sum about that out of it. Because they allowed all the misconception and all of that to enter into their mind. And he says, Lord, you got to go back.
He says, son, I really hate to send you back, but I got to. I've got to send you back. Just think about the disciples just for a moment.
Here it is. We on this side of eternity. And when we have to go out here, we have to make decisions on offices within a church. And when we have to maybe have offices like a deacon and a deacon to the church, or even going out here trying to find a pastor, we got to say, are they living that close to God? Do they have something in their life that will cause them to fall? Hey, we all do. We're all a subject of falling back in the same rut that we was in at one time. Well, look at this disciple. Oh man, they weren't nowhere close to perfect. Peter, he denied the Lord several times to other people when other people was talking to Peter. And to Peter, flat out denied the Lord. That he'd ever seen the Lord, ever walked with the Lord. Then you had Judas Iscariot. He sold him out for 30 pieces of silver. What have we sold him out for? A whole lot less than that sometimes. We sold him out because we didn't say what we needed, should say it. We sold him out. Because the Lord has spoken to us about dealing with some situations that's within the church. And we don't deal with it. And we let it keep going on and fester. Till it gets to the point that we can't, there's no way in the world we can handle it. The Lord, I don't think the Lord wants to handle it because we don't let it get out of control. He sold him out for 30 pieces of silver. And no doubt, when the Lord was in the garden there, and when he was praying, and when he was up on the mountaintop, and when he was praying with agony. Because he knew what they were going through. He knew what they were doing. And don't you think, just because he is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is the Father. He is the one that's created all this universe, this vast surroundings that we're in. Don't you believe that when Peter walked with him, and Peter told him, says, Lord, I love you. I want to follow you, Lord. I'll follow you all the way. Then the Lord said, well, Peter, I got to go over here and meet with these people over here. Now I want you to go over here and meet with them. While he left the Lord, and when he was traveling, what happened? He come upon the Pharisees. He come upon the people that did not like the Lord. They could not even stand him. And they asked him, says, well, Peter, the man that you just was, I seen you with a little while ago up the road, he looked like the man they called Jesus, or the man that they called Messiah. Now, Peter, was that you? He said, oh, no, it won't be. And won't be. No. It was somebody else. Because I saw it too. That was somebody else. He just lied. He just lied about him following the Lord. But see, the Lord still chose Peter to be one of his disciples. He chose Iscariot, Judas Iscariot. Sold him out for 30 pieces of silver. Yusuf, we will sell him out so fast it would be, I don't know what. We would sell him out so fast because of so many things. We don't need to sell out for him. We need to sell out for the service that we have for him. We don't need to sell out just to be selling out and allowing the devil to have his way in our life. The only way we can ever get by what the devil is doing to us is we have to claim the blood. We have to tell him, say, devil, I've got to remind you once again. The Lord Jesus Christ, he died on Calvary for my sins, and he covered me when I accepted him. So I'm covered by his precious blood. You cannot see me, Lord. Only thing you can see is the blood. And he will flee. That's the only way he'll ever flee, if we claim the blood. But a whole lot of times we just don't want to claim the blood. Why? I don't know about you, but I don't know if you've heard the latest. But I hear now, we're having people say, well, I come down now, what are you going to preach on? I'm going to preach the gospel, I'm going to preach the Bible, I'm going to preach King James. I'm going to preach about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of my Lord. Oh, they say, oh, you one of these preachers likes to preach on the bloody religion. I said, I don't know about the religion part. I said, but it was bloody. It was bloody. But Jesus was not religious. I'm not religious. Religion is going to carry more people to hell than some of the other things that they do. Why? Because they trusted on their good works. They trusted on what I've done. How I've helped my neighbors. How I've went over to my neighbor's house. Yeah, and I cut their grass. Lord, you know last month it kind of rainy weather. Sun come out, and all of a sudden the grass started popping up, and they couldn't get caught up with it. I wonder when I helped them, Lord. I helped them. When they said that, you know what they said? They said, look at what I've done. Look at what I've done. We should not ever have to brag on anything we ever do.
and if it has the right motive behind it. And the right motive that we need to have is knowing that one day we're going to go to that place in the sky that we call home. That I call home. You know, I can remember when I was growing up, my grandmother, once a year, she'd always, what she called a family reunion. Y'all remember them? When all the family come around, some you didn't see for a year, some it's been longer than that. But you gathered there. Why? Because you wanted to see somebody that you haven't seen in a long time. I'm going to a far country where it's going to be a family reunion. But in this family reunion, I have not looked upon his face and seen him face to face. The only thing I've done is read here in the Bible. I've read what he looks like. I've read how he was scarred, marred, beaten, and all of that. And all these portraits that they got of him hanging in the churches. To me, that's sad. Because they don't know. They don't know what he looks like. Even with we can take the scripture and we can look at it and we can analyze it and we can analyze it, reanalyze it, and look at it again, look at it upside down, downside out, and all of that. And we think we know, we got the picture. We got the picture. I know what the picture is. I know what he looks like. You do? Just like a whole lot of these TV people, TV interviews and everything. These people, individuals that said that while they was under the knife and they was under surgery and everything, that when they went under the knife, that they was dead. They went into heaven and they seen the face of Jesus. They seen all the beauty there. Well, first of all, you can tell that they lied. Why? Because they're back here to earth telling about it. They're back here telling about what they've seen. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm going to a place where I'm going to be able to meet a doctor there, that knows all things, that created this body, placed the organs where they've been placed, and could speak it, and it would happen. And when the streets of transparent gold, it's not streets of gold like some of the songs that we sing. Some of the songs has got is streets of gold. It's not streets of gold. Street of gold with a transparent glass. What does that mean? While we're there in heaven, when we look down, we can look at the reflection of us. Because we don't look down and through that transparent glass and look beyond that and look back down to earth. No, he don't want us to do that. He wants us to look at what we are. I'm saved by the grace of God. I'm proud of it. I'm proud of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm proud of what he's done for me.
I am proud that he has seen where he can use me in any fashion. And I know that I'm not the preacher that maybe some people want. I know that. But the only thing I can do is I can be myself. I can be myself. And I ask the Lord every week, just about almost every day, Lord, make me the very best in what you want me to do. He has to do it. But I'm so thankful that one day I'm going to that far country. And that far country is called heaven. Where right here in Luke chapter 15, we're speaking of a son that's turned his back on his father. Told his father, he said, I want everything that belongs to me. We are the same way. But just think about it. What do we start thinking about when our parents get a little older and they get sick? Start thinking about the inheritance. We start thinking about money. And how am I spending money? We don't need to look at it that way. We need to look at it like they did there over there in the book of Acts where Ananias and them, and where they went out and they sold land and everything. And they make sure that they come back and lie. They said they didn't. They give everything. They give everything that they sold and everything that they had for selling. They give it to the church. They give it to the Lord's ministry. But they did not do that. They didn't do it. The Bible tells us so. They did not do that. You know the reason they said that? They said that for their own gain. They knew that the people around them wouldn't know. But it doesn't make no difference. Who all knows about me? It don't make no difference. People put me up on a pedestal and they can say how great I am and everything. But it's the Lord. It's the Lord. He's the last one. He is the one. He is the one that tells me. And he's the one that's going to tell me, I hope and pray like he did Paul. Thy good and faithful servant. I hope he can say that to me. That is my prayer. I know it's a whole lot of individuals out here, a whole lot of churches out here, and it's a whole lot of pastors out here. Yes. They got large churches. But I will tell you one thing. Don't make no how large the church is. If it gets down to where the rubber meets the road, and where the United States has got to the point as far as the economy and everything. People's getting to the point they can't give like they did. I understand that. But the pastor, he looks just what's up there. The next thing you know, here come deacons. Trustees of the church, finance committee and all, they want to have a meeting with the pastor. They said, Pastor, you know that the churches took a hit. What has been coming in is cut down in half. We're not getting it every week and every month like we used to. Because we've had this to close up, that to close up, and everything. They said, well, what we're going to ask you to do, if you don't mind, and if you mind, we got to do it. We got to do it. We need to cut your salary back, at least below a half right now. And if it don't get no better, we're going to have to cut it out altogether. I just wonder how many of the pastors that's in that situation, how many of them will be there the next week or the next month? Because what they've been getting had been cut. I never have, I never will, ever come to stand, teach, or preach the Word of God for any dime. I don't need it. I need the Lord. And if I say, well, I can't come here. You know, it's a little small church. Which I won't offer me anything. Ooh. Paula paid for my gas and everything. I can't come. What's going to happen? The blessing that God has got for me, the blessing that God has looked over, I said, I got these blessings specially for him. But I said, well, I can do it. I just can't do it. Is that being a Christ-like? Is that being a Christian? No. I'm not supposed to look at it as money. You tell you why? Because when God called me to preach, and I'm going to say this and we're going to be dismissed. When he called me to preach, he did not say anything to me at all about it. You can go to nine, and they can pay you a whole lot of money. And you need to go, and you need to go out here and ask these churches. They talk to you. You need to go out there and tell them, you've got to have so much money to come. What am I doing? I'm saying, no, God, I don't want your inheritance. I want what the people's got. I want the inheritance of God. He has blessed me and my wife and my daughter so much that I'm scared to even think about what would happen if I just went by what some of the other churches are doing. I'd be scared to death. I mean, I know. I tell you something. I know that I'd lose everything I got. I'd lose my house. I'd lose everything I got. And my health wouldn't get no better, it'd get worse. Why? Because I wouldn't be serving God. I'd be serving the devil. And the devil don't love me. What is he? He's the father of what? Of all lies. He's the father of deception. And I'm so thankful that I serve a father that loves me, that wants to give me as much as I can handle. But I gotta be able to show him I want it.
Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the people that come out this morning. Oh, Father God, we ask, Lord, that you just go with them this evening to their home. And Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, that they can, if something was said, that Father, that you can allow them to be able to get out of. Father, that they, where they can be able to be a stronger Christian. And Father, and not only that, Lord, but as they've been the Christian and a stronger Christian, that the people that they come in contact with knows that something is different about their life than before. Even though that their life had been changed before, that they can feel something different this time. They can feel the joy that they have. And they can feel the precious, precious Lamb of the blood. And Father, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, as they serve you out here in the world. And Father, we pray, Lord, for each and every family that's represented here. We pray, God, Father, that they will just continue to be close to you. Continue, Father, to serve you. And Father, for the individuals that has walked away or strayed or whatever, Lord, we just would pray. Lord, we just would love for that the people would see something in our life that would draw them back to this church. And Father, if they don't want to come here, Father, they just need to be in a Bible-believing church where they preach the gospel. But Father, I would love for the people to come and just give us a try, where we can love them and help them. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen.
249, just as I am. 249.
249, just as I am.